by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah. Even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine. Even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine. And the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Musaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'audhu billahi min shaitan rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalatu wassalamu alayki ya Rasulullah. Wa ala alik wa sahabiki ya Habibullah. Assalatu wassalamu alayki ya Nabi Allah. Wa ala alik wa sahabiki ya Nurallah. Subhanallah.
Viewers of Madhi Channel, welcome to Arise and Shine. First and foremost, we're going to give you a blessings of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And the blessing that we're going to give you today is, the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, has said that the one who likes that Allah Azza wa Jal be pleased with him, when he is presented in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, then he is the one that needs to recite Durood-e Pak upon me in abundance. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Viewers of Madhi Channel, please make a habit that, we keep on saying this, make a habit that whenever you have the opportune moment to please make a habit of reciting Durood-e Pak, make it part of your routine. A successful person, if anybody is successful in this dunya, it is he who makes a routine in his life. That he gets up at a certain time, he sleeps at a certain time, he does certain activities at a certain time. And they say that people are healthy, that you know they put aside time for exercise, they eat at a certain time. These are the successful people. And if you want to be successful in the akhirat as well, then you also need to be disciplined. You need to be disciplined for your fajr, zuhr, asr, maghrib and isha. You need to be disciplined where you can read the Quran, that time that you put aside for reading the Quran. Disciplined for that time where you also sit down and study and also recite Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I pray to Allah azza wa jal that we all become disciplined enough and habitual in reciting Durood-e Pak. And who knows, the one extra Durood-e Pak that we recite today might make all the difference on the Day of Judgment. Viewers of Madhi Channel, you're watching Arise and Shine, and you know that after we give you the blessings of reciting Durood-e Pak, we have the privilege of listening to some verses of the Holy Quran. Let's listen to some verses of the Quran. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya Sin wal Qur'an al-Hakim innaka lamin al-mursalin ala siratin mustaqim tanzil al-aziz al-rahim لتنذر قوما ما أنذر آباؤهم فهم غافلون لقد حق القول على أكثرهم فهم لا يؤمنون إنا جعلنا في أعناقهم أغلالا فهي إلى الأذقان فهم مقمحون وجعلنا من بين أيديهم سدا ومن خلفهم سدا فأغشيناهم فهم لا يبصرون وسواء عليهم أأنذرتهم أم لم تنذرهم لا يؤمنون إنما تنذر من اتبع الذكر وخشي الرحمن بالغيب فبشره بمغفرة وأجر كريم آمنت بالله صدق الله العظيم.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. You know how refreshing it is in the morning to listen to some verses of the Holy Quran. Without doubt, there are many blessings in reading and listening to the Holy Quran. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that we all, again, make a habit of this. Like I said earlier on, a successful person is he who is a disciplined person. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that every household has the fortunate, and it is a fortunate household, in which the Quran is listened to and recited as well. Viewers of the channel, you're watching Rise and Shine. What are we going to talk about today? It's something, as I was coming to the studio this morning, I was thinking to myself, have we talked about this before or not? And I can't remember whether we have. And first and foremost, I'm going to say, please forgive me if we have. But even if we have spoken about this, it is something that is so much in our society that it needs to be continually spoken about. And that is the act of lying. The act of lying. Lying is something that can disgrace someone. Lying is someone that can break up a society. And what is most important of all, lying is such a huge sin that can lead you to the hellfire. So today, inshallah, we're going to talk about the effects of lying, the sin of lying, the punishment of lying, and we're going to give you some parables about the effects of lying as well. But before we do that, inshallah, as you know, that when you're watching Arise and Shine, after the Tilawat of the Quran, we're all blessed with the Kalam, inshallah. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Wo jo na the, to kuch na tha.
Shoshat ka'alu kya
کو جھکنے نہیں دیتا ہے سہارا تیرا دستگیری میری تنہائی کی تو نے ہی تو کی میں تو مر جاتا اگر ساتھ نہ ہوتا تیرا اب عمل پوچھتے ہیں ہائے نکما تیرا تیرے ٹکڑوں سے پہلے غیر کی ٹھوکر پہ لڑا نہیں کرتا کبھی میلا تیرا تیری سرکار ملا ہے رضا سے تو
Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Today, viewers of Mother Channel, what we're going to talk about, as we said before, we're talking about that act that's become so insignificant, yet at the same time, it's become so destructive within our society as well. And it's the act of lying. We do it without even thinking. We do it and think it's part of our daily routine. And really, we don't even realize that we are lying. Yes, if I was to say to you to lie about something big, you know, something that is what you would class as significant, then you would say, yes, that is lying. But there are times in our day where we lie without reason. We lie because we're trying to make someone happy. We lie because we're trying to sell something. We lie because we're trying to buy something. And these little lies, right? You might call them little lies, but at the end of the day, they are lies. And that is something that we need to be very wary of. And so we need to be aware of the fact of the destructiveness of lying. And lying, again, is one of those diseases that unless you can control it, unless you can eradicate it, then it spreads and you start committing more and more of these lies. I remember my father, he used to say to me when I was little, and it's something I didn't understand at the time. He said to me that liars don't have any feet. And I never understood that. And, you know, he said it a few times and I didn't want to ask my father what he meant by that. And then one day I said, Abaji, you know, liars, if they didn't have any feet and, you know, there are lies in society, then, you know, I don't see many people without any feet. You know, that means that everybody is truthful. And he said, no, Beta, what it means is that when someone lies, you know, eventually, how far can they run? Eventually, they will get caught. Eventually, they will get caught out because when you lie, you have to lie to cover that lie. And then you have to lie to cover that lie and so on and so on and so on. And eventually, they will get caught out. Eventually, they will get caught, meaning that a liar can run, but how far can he run? Eventually he will get caught. I'm going to give you a parable here with regards to the destructiveness of lying. It is stated that a woman named Arwa disputed with Sayyidina Sa'id bin Zayd radiallahu ta'ala regarding some part of his house. And he said, give this piece of land to her because I have heard the Holy Rasul sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam saying, the one who takes even a handspan of land unjustly, he will be made to wear a garland of seven earths on the day of judgment. After this, he made a dua. Oh Allah Azza wa Jal, if she is lying, then make her blind and make her grave in the same very house. The narrator says that I saw the woman had turned blind and she used to look for walls by touching them by hands. And she used to say that I have been affected by the dua made by Sayyidina Sa'id bin Zayd radiallahu ta'ala against me. Finally, one day, she fell in the well whilst walking in her home and died. And the same well became her grave. Allahu Akbar. From this view of the channel, we can see of the devastating consequences of lying, as what a painful death this woman faced due to lying, just to lying, over a small piece of land. And nowadays, again, viewers of the channel, this lying over a small piece of land happened then and it's happening now. And it's not just happening amongst neighbors, it's happening amongst brothers and sisters, fathers and children, arguing over a small piece of land. Well, I paid for that land. No, you didn't pay for the land. I paid for the land. I bought for that land. I paid for that land. And even when it comes to inheritance, that we argue over portions of land and say, no, that's not part of the inheritance because I paid for that land. It is my land. And what happens is
You'll see two brothers fighting with each other over a small portion of land, and they'll go to courts. And maybe the land, for argument's sake, let's say the land is worth £10,000, yeah? The land is worth £10,000. Both of the brothers will spend £20,000 in court fees because of that land, yeah? £20,000 each in court fees for that small piece of land that's only worth £10,000. And what happens is one of them is definitely lying. One of them is definitely lying, and the only true winner are the courts. They are the ones that truly win because they made £40,000 out of this out of a 10,000 piece of land. And the other thing that comes to my mind, that if it is your brother, yeah, that is lying, then forgive him. Give him the land. Why are you letting the courts win? Just give him the land. And it's your anah, it's your pride, yeah, that you say, well, just give it. Because, you know, just forgive them. And I think that's another thing as a community that we forgot how to do. We forgot how to forgive each other. Brothers have forgot how to forgive each other. Brothers and sisters have forgot how to forgive each other. Sisters have forgot how to forgive each other. And we all live our separate lives, and we don't want to care about each other, and we fight with each other, and we argue with each other over money and small portions of land. And astaghfirullah, you'll see people get in the Quran and say, oh, put the hand on the Quran and tell me, and they'll even go to the extent of potentially lying by putting the hand on the Quran when they're lying as well. You know, this is how low society has become. And yet, viewers of this channel, this same tongue that we commit the sin for lying is the same tongue that can take us to paradise. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the one who spoke said the words La ilaha illallah, he will enter paradise and paradise will become wajib for him. But at the same time, this same song, this same tongue, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the majority of a man's sins are committed through this tongue. What a great blessing this tongue is. And if you want to find out what a great blessing this tongue is, then go and see those people that cannot speak. Go and see those mute people that cannot speak, and you'll realize how fortunate you are. And you see these people. You know, I have a family member, and he's deaf. He was born deaf. And mashallah, he's a very nice person. But because he cannot always express him, because he was born deaf, he couldn't speak. He couldn't obviously learn how to speak. And because he cannot speak, right, he gets very frustrated. He gets very anxious because he can't express himself. Yeah? And so you realize how lucky you are that you can express yourself. You can express your feelings, what you're feeling, what you're expressing, what pain you've got, and all these things, you can express them, you know? And he can't sometimes express the feelings he has. And so only then, viewers of Mother Channel, do you realize how lucky you are, how blessed you are that you have a tongue. And how fortunate we are that as a result of this great blessing, we continue to commit so many sins. And lying is just one of them. Lying is just one of them. Backbiting, swearing, slandering, and all sorts of other things that we do with the same tongue that is such a great blessing for us. And not only that, viewers of Mother Channel, when you start lying, You become disgraced within the society. People will no longer trust you. People will no longer come close to you and give you anything. And it is said, viewers of the channel, there's a hadith that says that when a person lies, you know, we hear that when people lie, people distance themselves from them. Yeah? People stay away from them, people, because he's a liar. We don't want to be attached with him. He lies about everything he speaks. You know, and they even go to the extent that how can you tell if that person's lying? Yeah? There's a saying. And they say that, how can you tell if that person's lying? And they say, well, how can you tell if he's lying? When he moves his lips, that's when you can tell he's lying. Meaning that everything he speaks, every word he speaks lying. Now, obviously that's not true. Obviously every single word he speaks isn't a lie. But what happens is because you become tainted with that title as a liar, then what have people will think that everything you'll speak is a lie. Because then, once you've been confirmed that you're a liar, then why should they believe anything that you say? Because you're a known liar, so everything you're speaking. So people will distance themselves to people. People will keep away from yourself. And it's even worse than this. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when a person lies, then the angel distances himself a mile away from him due to the foul smell coming out of that person. Yes, viewers of Malaysia, a foul smell comes out of the person who lies. Sayyidina Imam Abdul Rahman Ibn Jawzi, Rahmatullahi ta'ala stated that when a believer lies without a shari reason, then something possessing a foul smell emanates from his mouth to the extent that it reaches the arsh, and the arsh-bearing angels curse him, 80,000 curse him, and 80,000 angels along with them curse him, and 80 sins are written in his account. And the smallest of these sins are like the Mount Uhud, the size of Mount Uhud, that is the smallest sin that is written in your account. So viewers of the channel can see that we're told that this smell emanates from the mouth of someone that lies. Why can we not smell it? Why can we not smell it? Now surely we are not saying that this is untrue. This is the truth, but we cannot smell it. And why can we not smell it? It's become used to it. You become, your nose has become immune to the smell. I remember again, someone used to say to this saying to me that there was someone that they'd got their daughter married to somewhere where, you know, they were looking after camels, yeah? And the camels, where they were looking after the camels, obviously there was a smell there of the camel dung and the camels, there was a huge smell there. And when they got the daughter married and she went there to this family where there were camels, then they were concerned about the smell, yeah? That how is our daughter that's never had to live in such a place like this, where there's all this smell around her, how's she going to manage? And sometime later, maybe a couple of weeks later, the daughter came back to her parents' home. And the parents said to the daughter, okay, daughter, you know, how are you managing there, Viti? You know, with that smell of the camels and the camel dung. And she said, no, Ami, no, Abu, alhamdulillah, the smell's gone now. The smell's gone away now. You can't smell it anymore. And what had actually happened is the smell hadn't gone away. The smell hadn't gone away. She'd become used to the smell. And because she'd become used to the smell, that smell didn't exist as far as she was concerned. In the same way, viewers of Madhi Channel, the smell of lying. The smell of lying is so much around us that we become immune to that now. We can't smell it anymore. And so that is a fearful thought as well. That if we cannot smell that smell of lying, then is it that bad? Yes. Yes, it is that bad. Yes, this disease of smell of lying has got so bad that it's affected our smell, it's affected our nostrils, it's affected our sense of smell that we can't even smell it anymore. We become immune to it. It is stated in Fatawa Razviya that lying and backbiting are inner diseases. They are inner diseases. Therefore, a foul odor is produced from the mouth of a liar. Angels that protect him distance themselves from him. Allahu Akbar. The angels that protect you, they stay a distance away from you. Likewise, it is highlighted in a hadith that the most dignified of identifying an odor informed that this is the foul odor from the mouths of those who backbite against Muslims. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. This disease of lying is something that we need to learn to refrain from it. You know, and we need to protect ourselves from it, because what happened, like I said, when you lie once, then you have to lie again to cover up that lie. You have to lie again to cover up that lie. And if only from a young age, you teach your children not to lie. You know, this example, I think I've used this before, I'm going to use it again, that, you know, when children, they break something, yeah, in a room, there's 3 or 4 kids playing, and they'll knock the cup, and the cup will go over, and they'll spill all on the carpet. And obviously, you know, you get angry. Now, you want to know what's happened. You ask the children what's happened. And, you know, the children, they're scared. They're scared of the father. They're scared of the mother. And they'll say, he did it. He did it. I didn't do it. It wasn't me. It had nothing to do with me. Now, and what happens is because you haven't got the time, or you haven't got the patience, or you don't really want to give them any tarbiyat, what will happen is you'll either punish them all, or you let them all off. So what that child is now taught at that young, tender age is that I've lied today. I've lied. And what's happened is either the punishment's been shared, so punishment divided, or we got away with it. So what is lying? Lying is good. You taught them that lesson. Yes, you taught them that lesson. You taught them the lesson, lying is good. Why? Because as a result of your actions, they got away with it, or the punishment was shared. And that, in that sense, if you think about it, lying is a good thing. You taught them that. You taught them that. But if you were to sit down with that same child, all them children, and say, look, you know, Not everybody's done it. One of you's done it. Now, tell me the truth. Be honest. And tell them our blessings of being honest, that Allah Azza wa Jalla likes those people that are honest. You know, in our deen of Islam, we should always tell the truth. Tell them this. And then say, look, don't worry, I'm not going to punish you, but tell the truth. And if one of the children plucks up the courage and says, Dad, you know, it was me. Yeah, it was me. And at that point, what should your action be? And if at that point you punish the child, if you punish the child now, then you've also taught him a lesson. And what lesson have you taught him? Telling the truth is bad. Telling the truth is a bad thing, because I told the truth and what did I get? I got punished. I'm never going to tell the truth again. Because I got punished. And I remember once that someone in this country, there was a murder case. And what happened was, it was in a garage that a person had been killed there. And a person came and he brought the car to the garage and he saw the dead body. And he phoned up the police. He phoned up the ambulance. They came and they realized that the body was dead. The police came and everything. And the first person that they arrested was him. They arrested him, took him in, questioned him, kept taking him back in for re-questioning, And he said, which is a very unfortunate sense of society, that he said, if I was to see someone dead now, I would never report it. Here's me trying to be honest, and I got punished for it. And so now as a result of them actions, he said, I'm never going to report it again. In the same way, viewers of my channel, that if your child speaks the truth, and as a result of him speaking the truth, you punish him, then he's never going to speak the truth again. But if your child, at that instant, you say to him, okay, beta, mashallah, I'm really happy that you spoke the truth. In future, please be careful. You know, you shouldn't be playing around these things. Okay, maybe it's my fault as well. I shouldn't have left it there. But in future, beta, please be careful. Don't make a mess. Don't break things. But mashallah, beta, you know what? Today you've made me happy. You know why, beta? Because you spoke the truth. You spoke the truth. And that is the true act of a Muslim. And I'm proud of you today. And you know what? I think we're going to treat you today. Not only are we going to treat you today, we're going to treat all your friends today. Let's get some, I don't know, some takeaway in. Let's get some fries in. Let's get some sweets in. Let's get something in. And we'll all be happy today. And you know, we'll eat something together. What lesson have you now taught the child? You've now taught the child the lesson that telling the truth is a good thing. And this is all as a result of your action. Now, at a young age, you put them lessons into our children. You put that into that child at a young age that this is what they need to do. Then inshallah, as they go forward, then it'll be there. But you, as a parent at that young age, you're putting that seed in. You're watching that seed. As at a young age, you know that when a tree grows, you can put a wire around it. Yeah? And make it go in that direction, or make it go in that direction, But once that tree has gone in that direction, and that tree's been there for some years, then you try and pull that tree back to that direction. You know when a trunk of a tree grows and it's like that thick, and the trunk of the tree is going over there, it's impossible to make it go over there. But when the trunk of a tree is literally that, then you can make it there, you can make it there, there, there. You can make it wherever you want. You can tie a wire around it and make it go in that direction. What happens is with us is we wait until the trunk of the tree is that, and then we say, I didn't want that to go that way. I wanted it to go that way. I didn't want my child to do this. I wanted my child to do that. But we waited 15 years to make that decision. And along that route of them 15 years, we've done so many things to make it go in that direction. Then we wonder why. So viewers of Money Channel, lying is such a sin, but it can be eradicated if we start at the beginning. Right at the beginning with our children, put it into them, and also in front of our children, we shouldn't also lie as well. Inshallah, we'll talk a little bit about that, about lying in front of our children after the break as well. But now we're going to go to the daily reminder, inshallah, azza wa jal. Again, a little bit overrun, please forgive me. Let's hear what we're going to find out, what we're going to learn in the daily reminder. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah. By the grace of Allah.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya'i wal Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajeem, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. My dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, today we will listen another account from the seerah of Sahabi Rasul. Hazrat Sayyidina Wasila bin Asqa radiallahu ta'ala, and says that we were residing in Sufa, meaning he was amongst companions of Sufa. Ramadan Kareem arrived. We fasted in Ramadan. At the time of iftar, one individual would come and he would take one of us with him. He would feed us dinner. During Ramadan, a night came when no one turned up to take us for food. Allahu Akbar. Dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, can you imagine? We do iftar at home, whereas Ashabi Sufa would wait for iftar. Would wait someone to come and collect them to feed them food. Allahu Akbar. This was the state of poverty. He says, no one turned up. We again fasted for next day. Allahu Akbar. Meaning, they did not eat all night and started next fast. No one turned up even in the following night. Finally, we went in the court of Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and mentioned our situation. Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam sent message towards his blessed wives to inquire if food was present at home. They replied that, by Allah, they have seen that night in such state that they did not have anything which was eaten by living things. Allahu Akbar. Dear viewers, did you notice? Ashabi Sufa don't have food to eat. Blessed wives of Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, they don't have food to eat. Mother of believers did not have food to eat. Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam gathered all Ashabi Sufa. When they all gathered, Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam made dua. The translation is, O Allah, we ask from you and your mercy and kindness. No doubt these both, meaning fadl and rahmah, both are under your control. And no one is owner of them except you. Hence, after a short while, someone asked permission to enter. When he entered, he had a roasted goat and bread. Subhanallah. My master, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, ordered him to put it down. It was placed in front of us. We were hungry too, so we ate full stomach. Beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam then said, we had asked Allah about his fadl and rahmah. Undoubtedly, Allah has gathered this mercy for us. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, you came to know that how hard life Sahaba-i-Kiram, Alim Ridwan, they spent. But they did not complain. They did not have food for iftar. They fasted consecutive days. Allahu Akbar. This was their state. People would come to collect them to feed. That's how they spent early days of Islam. Allahu Akbar. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala shower countless blessings upon Sahaba Ikram alayhim ridwan and forgive us for their sake. But from their life, from their seerah, we learn that we complain too much. Even we have got everything, alhamdulillah, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has showered his mercy and blessing and favors upon us. But yet we complain on little issues. We should not do that. That's the reminder for today. May Allah accept whatever has been said. Ameen. Bijahin Nabil Ameen. Sallallahu ta'ala. Ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah. By the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah. Viewers of the channel, you're watching Rise and Shine. And we had the daily reminder. In the daily reminder is one by was talking about the Ashabi Sufa. These are those companions that used to, those people that used to come to Medina. And when they used to come to the Medina, there was a little place that they used to stay. And in that place, they used to stay there. And when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to come out of his place, and they used to sit there and acquire the knowledge of the deen. And that place still exists. It's inside Masjid an-Nabi. It's portioned off. I believe that you can't have access to it now. I believe it's completely portioned off and you can't go there. But they used to come there and they used to acquire the knowledge of the deen. And from then, whilst people used to have access to it, people used to try and sit in that portion where they could get the blessings and imagine that time where people used to sit there and eagerly await the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to come out of his house, to come out of his resting place and to spread the knowledge of the deen. What a beautiful time that only we can imagine about and think about. Unfortunate are those people, Allah, fortunate are those people that can go and visit the city of Medina, walk the streets of Medina. And even now there are, you know, even though now a lot of the city of Medina has become very, you know, modern in the sense that there's high-rise buildings and hotels and everything, there are still places where you can go. There are still households, areas where you can go and you can feel that, you know, you feel as if you are in the old city of Medina. I remember where the battle of the ditch, Jang-e Khandaq took place, where the battle of the ditch took place. Around there, I went and visited some houses there. And you can imagine walking in them streets, Allahu Akbar. The beautiful city of Medina, I pray that everybody is blessed with an opportunity to go there. Viewers of the channel, we're talking about the lying, the sin of lying. Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, Surah An-Nahl, Ayat 105, only those who do not believe in Allah's verses attribute false allegations, and only they are the liars. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Only those who do not believe in Allah's verses attribute false allegations, and only they are the liars. Views of Munichan, under this ayat, it is mentioned in Tafsir al-Khazan that this ayat, it refutes the false accusations of the disbelievers which they accused the Holy Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam with, that he had made the Quran himself. The summary of this ayat is that lying and slandering are indeed the acts of faithless people, viewers of Madri Channel. And the renowned commentator of the Quran, Imam Fakhruddin Razi, rahmatullahi ta'ala, stated that this ayat is a strong proof upon the fact that lying is the biggest sin amongst all major sins, because only such a person dares to lie and slander who does not believe in the signs of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza wa Jal condemning lying in such a way is a very serious warning. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Oh, viewers of my channel, if you consider yourself, you know, a Muslim, if you consider yourself a lover of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then think to yourself and fear Allah, that if we are lying. And you know, before the break, I mentioned the fact that, you know, that we teach our children lessons by the way we act. That when if a child lies and we stop him from lying, if the child tells the truth, and we praise him for telling the truth. But also at the same time, viewers of the times where we lie in front of our children as well. And again, we give them the message. You know, you go to someone's house and, you know that the father's in the house. Because literally as you were coming down the street, coming down in your car, you saw him get out of the car, go into the house, you park up your car, you knock on the door. The child comes to the door. Can I speak to your dad? No, dad's not in. Where did he get that from? No, I just saw your dad. You just parked. No, he's not in. And we've had to the extent where I've gone to someone's house and they've looked out the window at the top. You know, when we've gone and done Nikki Kidalworth and gone to people's houses to invite them to the masjid, they'll look out the window at the top, they'll close the window, and then the children will say, no, dad's not in. Now, you're telling your child to lie. You're teaching your child to lie. Yeah, and then at the same time, someone will phone you up. Where are you? And they'll say, "Where are you?" No, well, I'm at work at the moment. Yeah, I'm working overtime. I won't be home till 10 o'clock. You sat at home on the sofa watching TV. Yeah, and then you know you're feeling fine. There's nothing wrong with you. You're okay, and you phone in work for sick. You find you're completely healthy, and you phone your boss. And yeah, boss, I'm sorry, I can't come into work today. Yeah, I've got a cough. Yeah, I'm sorry, I can't come in. Yeah, I'll come in tomorrow. Yeah, bye. And then you're back to normal. And the child's thinking, what's happening here? What's my dad just done? And your child's thinking, all these are messages again for your children. That, you know, if there's something I don't want to do, if I don't want to meet anybody, if I don't want to go anywhere, if I don't want to see anybody, then just lie. Great. I've got an escape route here. That's easy. Dad, thank you for that lesson. You taught me a life lesson here that I'm going to use all my life and I'm going to benefit from. The problem is he might benefit in this dunya, but you've taught your child a lesson that yes, he might benefit from this dunya, but that lesson that you've taught that child is going to be a source of destruction for him when he's in that dark and lonely grave. A source of destruction for him on the day of judgment. And you've taught him that lesson. You've taught him that lesson. So we want not only the sin of lying ourselves, but like any other disease, any other contagious disease, lying is a contagious disease. Lying is a disease that spreads. By you lying, it causes other people to lie as well. Because you're teaching other people to lie. And then people, if they see you, for example, as a businessman, yeah? They'll see you as a businessman. There'll be a person there that's an honest businessman. You're lying and you're both on the market. You've got two stalls and you're lying. As a result of your lying, your sales are increasing. And this person sitting there, he's trying to be honest. He's trying to live a honest life. But he's constantly seeing you lying. Constantly seeing you lying. He's thinking to himself, you know what? Everybody's doing it. Because that disease is spreading. Now in his mind, everybody's lying. The whole market is lying. I'm the only one that's being honest. Everybody's got customers. I've not. I might as well lie as well. So he now starts lying because he sees you lying. So this disease, and yes, it is a disease we use in Mother Child, it is contagious that we continue to lie and we get other people to lie as well. So our children, our households, our families, our relatives, we end up lying inside them and they all start lying as well. And it's something that we need to ponder over. In his stated views on my channel, that when Caesar received the invitation of Islam from the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam through a letter, he then called Abu Sufyan in his court, who till then had not become a Muslim, but in relation to the lineage, he was very close to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he wanted to get an idea regarding the truthfulness of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A letter had come, Nikki Kidawa, called to the path of righteousness, and he wanted to find out about him. And Caesar, he asked questions regarding the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And although Abu Sufyan, at the time he wasn't a Muslim, he held enmity against the Holy Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the time due to his disbelief. But even then, he gave honest answers to all the questions which Caesar asked him regarding the blessed character of the Holy Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he says that the only reason why he did not lie to degrade the status of the Holy Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam was that due to lying, the society will call me a liar, and this is the worst of the sins that will be associated with me. Therefore, whilst mentioning the reason for not lying to degrade the status of the Holy Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam and speaking the truth out of the compulsion, he himself states, by Allah Azza wa Jal, if I did not fear being embarrassed over the fact that people will associate the act of lying against me, then I would have lied at that time against the Holy Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this parable of yours, Mother Child, proves to that people used to severely hate lying even before Islam. And that was the only reason that Sayyidina Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala did not lie about the Holy Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that people do not say about him that a dignified chief like Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala also lies. Just ponder over this, viewers of Munshah. The practice of lying was considered to be evil amongst the people even before Islam. Then why? Why do we not refrain from this evil practice? Why as Muslims do we continue to perform this act that has always been an act that is disgraced? Islam came to get rid of acts of jahiliyyah. But anything that was good, it maintained. And this is one of the acts, speaking the truth, that was there. And it's always been there. But we today, we lie. We continue to lie. We continue to lie. And we continue to lie. Allah Azza wa Jal says, in Surah Al-Hajj, ayat 30, and avoid false speech. Avoid false speech. Allahu Akbar. So we've been commanded, viewers of my channel, we've been ordered, viewers of my channel, to refrain from lying. And how bad are those people who, as a result of lying, they create a separation between husband and wife, friends and relatives by lying. Where Sharia, our Sharia, the loves that we bring people together, the unity that needs to be created there. But people lie. And as a result of the lying, husbands and wives will break up. Friends will break, relatives will break. these relations will be break as a result of our lying. Sayyidina Abu Khahil radiallahu ta'ala states, there was some dispute between two companions to the extent that they both stopped talking to each other. These two companions, they both stopped talking to each other. And so he went to one companion and he said to him, what's your problem with such and such person? He said, I've heard that he's been praising you immensely. He talks good about you. Yeah? I think you need to go and see him. Yeah? And you're upset with him, yet he takes good about you. He neither went to the other person. And he said, what's your problem with that person? That person speaks good about you. You know, he's always been praising you. Why don't you go and meet that person? So these two companions met. These two people met, and they were happy to meet each other. But then he thought to himself, he thought that he'd done a good act. Yeah, that he'd reconciled these two people, yeah, that they'd come back together. Then he thought to himself that I have indeed reconciled both of them, but I've destroyed myself by lying. Because he lied. He went to the first person and he lied to him and said that this person's speaking good about you. Yeah, I think you should go and meet him. Then he went to that person, said, you know what, I think this person speaks good about you. You need to go and meet him. And as a result of that, they came back together, they were happy, you know, and so on. But he thought to himself, I have lied. So there, he went to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he relayed the whole story. Upon this, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O Abu Khail, do reconcile people, even if you have to lie. So yes, viewers of Madhichan, right at the beginning, I mentioned, unless there's a shari reason to lie, and this is one of the reasons, that if you lie to reunite Muslims, then that is a good thing. But unfortunately, what do? We lie to break Muslims. We lie to break husband and wife. We lie to break brother's relationship. Brothers and sisters, families, uncles and aunties, relations, all these relations, we break with them. And what is the source of it? Lying. Allahu Akbar. And because of this, can you understand the torment that we fear? We shall fear the torment of Allah Azza wa Jalla and protect ourselves against the destructive evil of lying. Otherwise, one does face disgrace and humility in this world upon being caught as a liar. But it can also be the subject of a painful torment in the hereafter. I'm just going to give you three sayings of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then we're going to go to our daily hadith. I'm going to give you three hadiths, then we're going to go to our daily hadith. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, speaking truth is indeed an act of righteousness, and an act of righteousness leads one to paradise, and lying is a sin, and sin leads one to the hellfire. You know, it's like a simple formula, isn't it? You know, a simple formula. Truth leads to righteousness. Righteousness leads to paradise. Lying, sin. Sin leads to hell. Which path do you want to be on? I'm going to go through it again. Truth, righteousness, paradise. Lying, sin, hellfire. You decide. Allah. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, lying indeed leads towards sin, and sin leads towards the hellfire. And undoubtedly, a person keeps lying to the extent that he becomes an extremely grave liar in the court of Allah azza wa jalla. One person came to the blessed court of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he humbly said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which action leads towards the hellfire? And he replied, lying. When a person lies, then he commits a sin. And when he commits a sin, then he is ungrateful. And when he is ungrateful, then he enters the hellfire. Viewers of Madhichan, please think and reflect on what you do. Viewers of Madhichan, you're watching Arise and Shine. And approximately this time during the day, we have the daily hadith. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah azza wa jal, today I will mention to you a hadith in regards to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and how much of a blessing Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is for Islam, and how honored he is in Islam as well. It's been narrated by Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu,
that he narrates from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did this dua: Allahumma a'izz al-islam bi abi jahl aw bi umar ibn al-khattab. Fa asbaha umaru faghada 'ala an-nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam fa aslam. Summa salla fil masjid zahiran. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did this dua, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu woke up the next day and he presented himself to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he accepted Islam. Then the Muslims went to Masjid al-Haram and they read Salah openly and they worshipped openly. So in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O Allah Azzajal, honor Islam either through Abu Jahl or through Hazrat Umar. So from this hadith you can see how much of an influence and how powerful Abu Jahl must have been in them days, and how much of an influence and how much strong Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu must have been as well. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is doing dua to honor Islam through one of these two individuals. And the story of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, how he accepted Islam, was that Abu Jahl, they had a meeting, Abu Jahl and the leaders, and Hazrat Umar was present there as well. And Abu Jahl said to all the individuals that whoever, ma'azullah, kills the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I will give him a big reward. And Hazrat Umar at that time, he said to Abu Jahl, will you act upon your word? So will you fulfill whatever you said? And Abu Jahl said yes. So Hazrat Umar picked up his sword and he set out towards Dar-e Arqam. That's where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was residing at that time. And on the way, he met an individual. And that individual said to him, where are you going? And Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said to him that I'm going to, ma'azallah, kill the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that individual said to him, before you go deal with the Prophet, shouldn't you sort your own household out? Meaning, he was indicating that your sister had accepted Islam and she was following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when he heard this, he changed his direction towards his sister's house. So when he got to his sister's house, he could hear the Quran being recited inside. He knocked on the door, and when inside, Hazrat Fatima binti Khattab, the sister of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and her husband were getting taught the Quran by a Sahabi. And when Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala knocked on that door and they found out that Hazrat Umar was outside, the Sahabi hid and they opened the door, and Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala walked inside and he said to his sister, I've heard you've accepted Islam. And she said yes. He was so furious at that time, he started to hit his brother-in-law. And whilst he was doing this, his sister came in between them and he even hit her. And when he did hit her, she started to bleed. And when he saw the blood of his sister, his heart softened. And he said to his sister that, show me the Quran and read it to me. His sister said to him, no. You have to do ghusl first. You have to do ablution first. So he did ghusl and he came back and then they read the Quran to him. They read Surah Taha. And when they got to this ayah, Allahu la ilaha illahu lahul asma'ul husna, the light of Islam infilled inside Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu's heart, and he thought to himself that only someone with this quality has the ability to be worshipped. So he said to his sister that I want to accept Islam. So then that Sahabi came out who was hiding and they took him to Dar-e Arqam, and he accepted Islam on the hands of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when he did accept Islam, all the Sahaba did takbir. So they did takbir to show that how much of a great asset has come to Islam. And after that, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu took the Muslims to Masjid al-Haram and they read namaz openly, because before that they used to read it behind closed doors because of the Kufari Makkah and the problem they used to cause the Muslims. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu had so much influence that he granted the Muslims the ability to read Salah and do worship openly. I do dua to Allah Azzawajal that he gives us the ability to read up on the life of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu and to act on the ways of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of Inshallah, the daily hadith today was from another one of our graduates from our Jamiatul Madina here in the UK. And at the moment we're taking admissions for Jamiatul Madina. And we've got Jamiatul Madinas for our brothers in Stratford, London, Luton. We've got them in Birmingham, in Leicester, in Rochdale, in Blackburn, and in Bradford as well, inshallah. And they are a combination there of residential ones, full-time ones, and part-time ones. And we also have full-time Jamiatul Madina for sisters in Bradford and in Birmingham. And so if you wish to join any of these Jamiatul Madinas, you need to be, for the full-time ones and the residential ones, you need to be adults. Some of the part-time ones, which are in the evenings that take place, you can be, you know, teenagers can join them as well. But the majority of the full-time ones are all for the adults, 16 plus, inshallah. So that is the Jamiatul Madina. And what is the Jamiatul Madina? I think I mentioned it before. Jamiatul Madina is where we're producing the English-speaking scholars of the future. And it is a need of our community. And wherever we are around the world, we need to open more and more Jamiatul Madinas so that we can all benefit from this. But viewers of the channel, you're watching Arise and Shine. And today we're talking about lying, which a grave sin it is in society. And not only is it a sin, it's a disease. And the disease is a contagious disease, and it's spreading amongst the society, amongst us today as well. And with us at the moment we have, mashallah, I believe we have Amiruddin Bhai all the way from South Africa. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you? You know, alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. You know, every time that we get, you know, any of these connections, I really love technology that at least we can connect with people around the world. How small the world has become that we can speak to you so easily. How are you, Amiruddin Bhai? Everything okay?
Yeah, alhamdulillah. And with you?
Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. Amiruddin Bhai, we're talking about lying. And I think you've listened to a little bit about the program, so I think you understand what we're talking about today. If you can give us, bless us with some madani pearls with regards to this particular topic.
Okay, alhamdulillah. We say ultimately the goal of speech is to convey a message, and it's used to assess the truth, to learn the truth through honest speech. And that means we have to live the truth and give it to others. So this is productive, and with honesty, there's safety. It builds harmony, trust, mutual respect and honor. And as humans, we are creatures of speech. Our tongues and speech are a great mediator between ourselves and all forms of truth. And it is the only means to gain nearness to Almighty Allah, and also to gain knowledge, wisdom. And it is a supreme gift of intellect and the ability to understand revelation, right? When we articulate our speech, that means if it's based on truth, then it makes us like the angel, because each of us are made of clay and spirit of Ruh. And our speech of truth enables our Ruh to dominate. And if you compare to angels, they are pure intellect, pure truthfulness, and they relate only the truth. And that's the way we're supposed to be. That means always speaking the truth. So honest speech, think about what we say, carefully measuring what we say. And when we speak, that means we say what's going to be best that it comes out from our mouth. Like you hear many times, Nigran Shura, even Amir al-Sunnah says in Urdu, Pehle tolo, baad mein bolo. It's very important, right? So therefore, it's so important for us always to speak truth. Amir al-Sunnah, Ahmad Barakatul Aliyah, that is always guiding us to the truth. It also reminds us that we must be, that means even if you spoke a lie, you have to put in the one block that today I spoke a lie. That means become aware of your own weaknesses. So this is something that we must always be aware of, because lying is obviously, as you said, is haram. So we must make dua that Allah Azza wa Jalla give us tawfiq, understand this message, that this is a very important topic. And as you mentioned, how many times that we even lie to our families. Make dua, Almighty Allah give us tawfiq to understand. Amen. And that we must be among those who are always truthful. Ameen, bijahin nabil, ameen, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Amiruddin Bhai, you give me a lot to talk about. May Allah azza wa jalla reward you. Viewers of my channel, you've been watching Rise and Shine. And yes,
a very important topic we've been talking about today, and hope we can learn something about this, and I hope we can refrain from this, and I hope we can bring up our children in a household, in a society where they also refrain from the sin of lying. Like I said, you've been watching Rise and Shine. Keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end and the sun will rise and shine. Even the darkest night will end and the sun will rise and shine.